Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Way Up North podcast is supported by Wooden Banana. Wooden Banana has delivered personalized wooden packaging for photographers since 2014 and has since connected with thousands of photographers from around the world. Their handmade wooden products range from CD and print boxes through to custom USBs, all individually engraved with your branding, giving your client delivery the love it deserves no matter where you are in the world. Wooden Banana has partnered with Way Up North for 3 events in a row and is offering a 10% discount on all their products using the purchasing code 110. So give them a look at woodenbanana.com or follow their store and Instagram via the hashtag woodenbanana. All right, here we go. Today is the 5th conversation out of 10 leading up to Way Up North 2016 in Stockholm, Sweden. The talks are hosted by Swedish photographer Jenny Hamar, and today she sits down with Sarah Byrne. If Sarah Byrne is new to you, there's a lot to share. She's come a long ways from her roots in Idaho, becoming a jet-setting traveler who now calls Portland home. Sarah opens up in this conversation about a separation from her partner, thinking 2 steps ahead with her business, and how a somewhat shy person deals with the real world and being present versus her enormous online popularity. She even ends up chatting about her bubbly parents. Some people seem to have no limits with what they can do, and for me, that's Sarah. She's remarkably talented, clever, and grounded, and if you don't know her, by the end of this hour, you surely will. So here we go, recorded in June 2016. This is Jenny Hamar and Sarah Byrne.
Anything or no. Okay.
All right. Don't worry.
It's made for like singing and recording stuff. So if it was just like plugged into his computer, I'd grab it.
Yeah. No, don't worry about it. Actually, okay, that's this cool thing too, is like the super professional, and I couldn't get it to work. So I'm like, I'm not even going to make their equipment. So basically we'll just get started with our little
Perfect
conversation.
Okay. How are you affiliated with them?
So I'm a photographer in Sweden.
Cool.
I know them because we're colleagues and we do things together. We like refer each other some work and like That's meet cool up from time to time. And so, and a couple of photographers that I know really well are also going to speak at the events coming up at Way Up North. So, uh-huh, we know together Erica Jademark. She's one of the speakers,
okay,
too.
So, cool.
But, so I was really excited when they asked me to do this because, like, it's such a great way to get to know the photographers. And, like, just even doing a little bit of background research on everyone is, like, has been super fun.
Yeah.
See what I dig up? No.
Oh, God.
So, Sarah Byrne. Is that how you say your name? Byrne.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah, most people say it wrong, so good job.
Well, good. We're off to a good start.
Yes, we are.
So, you're in Portland. I'm in Sweden.
Uh-huh.
Different size of the world.
Very different.
This is so cool.
I'm so excited to come to Sweden. I've never been there. So
you think? No, you haven't.
No, I haven't been there. I was saying it very oddly. I'm sorry. I was thinking about where it is on the map. But no, I have not been there. I don't really even know what to expect.
Well, it'll be October. It'll be like really cold. Fall.
Perfect.
Yeah, I mean.
Super cold or just like kind of cold?
Could go either way.
Right.
But Sweden is excited to have you, I'm sure. So you're in Portland. How did you end up in Portland? Because you're not originally from there, are you?
No, I grew up in Idaho, actually. And I moved away from Idaho, which is a one state over, just like I lived 6.5 hours away from where I live now. And it's just like small town and wanted to get away from the place I grew up sort of thing. Okay. And Portland is such a wonderful city. I fell in love with it the first time I came here. It's one of those places that you come and you immediately feel like you're home because everyone's so welcoming and it's all such a like community-based type place. So
cool.
I just knew that I loved it and wanted to move here. And also it's super beautiful. Like, it's really green. There's waterfalls and the beach isn't too far away. And yeah, the scenery helps a lot.
And are the mountains there as well? Because you have a lot of mountains in your work, or is that correct?
There are mountains here. Yeah, there's a lot of mountains. It's like very like mountainous, hilly, forest. It's kind of a lot of different landscapes within a couple hours.
Cool. And how often do you go back home?
Not very often because my family has all moved away. My sister actually lives in Germany. Oh. And my parents live up in Seattle, so I go up there a lot. Okay. And my brother still lives in Idaho, but I guess I went back to see him like once this year.
Okay. Still pretty close. So how old are you? And like, what did your childhood look like?
I'm 29 years old. I'm turning 30 this year. I really don't know how I feel about that. I guess like 30s are like a good time of your life, I hear. I don't know. Definitely. Anyway, but yeah, my childhood I feel like was pretty normal. I don't know, like specifically any questions about it.
I'm curious, like what happened from the time you were born? Like,
oh my God. Well, I was born on a naval base outside of Seattle.
Oh wow!
And then it's a place called Whidbey Island. It's like a really, really beautiful area, and moved around a little bit. We moved to Michigan, lived in Wisconsin until I was 8, and then we ended up in Idaho and lived there until like from when I was 8 until I moved to Portland, basically. But I guess like in between that, when I was younger, I was such a weirdo and I really wanted to be an actress, and I did like community theater, and my parents are crazy and they like moved me down to California a couple years in a row for a couple months at a time so that I could like, I don't know how to explain it. It's called pilot season, where you go out and audition for a bunch of things. And
okay, yeah. I think I've seen a documentary about that, actually.
Yeah.
Like a lot of child actors, too, right?
Yep. Yeah, I was 11 when I did that.
Oh, my God. Okay. were you like those little beauty queens in tiaras?
No. I'm just kidding. Yeah. I was yes. No. It's different than that, I think.
No, okay. So you
No, it's not like it's not like a beauty pageants at all. It's like it's trying to be an actor, and I was like in acting classes and I would go to auditions every day and like read lines and be in front of the camera and that sort of thing.
Oh my God. Okay. So you like discovered yourself pretty early on that you were into theater, or not theater, but acting.
Yeah. I mean, I started out in theater and then it like developed and I was like, oh, I want to be an actress. And I was very passionate about it when I was younger. And I think it would have been a cool thing to do, but it kind of never took off for me. So I left that. And I always have this like kind of weird thought that it would be fun to join a theater here and go like be on a stage and act, but it doesn't really work out with shooting weddings because a lot of theater is done during and you have to like practice every single day. A lot of theater is done on Saturdays and all
that. But
it's like a thought I've had, like, oh, that would be fun someday to do that again.
That could be your plan B in case, like, your camera breaks or something.
I don't know how much theater actors make. Like, that's a backup plan, sure.
That's the backup plan. But that's so cool that your parents were, instead of being like, oh, no, Sarah, don't do that. That's a very hard business. Like,
yeah, they were always very, I don't know, very supportive. I like crazy supportive of whatever I wanted to do. So I feel really lucky for that.
Yeah, that's, wow, that's really cool. Were you in any shows? I mean, did you?
No, I wasn't. I didn't get any like big roles. I was in like a couple small commercials that were more regional things. It's so embarrassing because like I was in this commercial for Eckridge Sausage. It's like a sausage company.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. It was like the biggest thing that I did when I was 11. So.
And what did you do? Did you have
I sat at a table and with a family and I said, can I have seconds?
When did that air?
I mean, I'm 29 now. I was 11 then. So
18 years ago.
That long ago.
Oh my God. I feel like I remember that. I lived in the States then. I've probably seen it.
Really?
Yeah.
It was something that aired in like the Midwest. Where in the States did you live?
In Chicago.
Oh shit.
I'm not just saying this to be like funny. It's like, seriously, that like rings a bell.
Really?
I've never met
anyone who's seen it because it definitely aired in the Midwest, like probably in Chicago. But yeah, it's like the premise of the whole commercial was like, I was this angsty 11-year-old sitting at a table and this football team ran through, this young football team ran through the living room as we were eating dinner and no one noticed because we were all enjoying our dinner sausage so much. And then one of the little boys comes up to me and I say, I don't know, like I shoo him off or whatever. And then in the end I say, can I have seconds? I don't know.
And they're like, she talked. She's a part of the family. We won her over. Oh, my
exactly.
God.
Exactly.
That's so funny. Well, I can imagine. I mean, you're beautiful, absolutely beautiful now. I can imagine you were like a gorgeous, cute girl, too. I mean, when you were that age, you must have been like.
Oh, man. When I was 11, I was super awkward. So I don't know how they ever let me on TV.
I doubt that. It does not look like you.
I really wasn't. You know, I went through like the. I was super, I'm pretty tall. So I was always taller than like everyone in middle school. And so like, I was just this gangly thing. And I had like, I decided to get clear braces, which was the worst idea. So my mouth was just looked like I had really messed up teeth and stringy hair. I don't know. I could complain about it, but whatever. Everyone goes through a weird time when they're 11.
Well, thank God you have the braces because your teeth are super straight.
Yeah.
I have the braces with the rubber bands.
Mm-hmm.
You remember those? Like neon rubber bands that you like?
Yeah, they're just rubber bands.
Gross. So.
I had rubber bands. I had a thing on the top of my mouth. I think it was, I can't remember what it was called, but it was just like a palate expander.
Me too.
So I had a lisp. You did? That's funny. I had a lisp for like a year. So that was really fun.
Did you have a key where you cranked it like to expand?
Oh, no. That's a Herz. That's a different thing.
Oh, okay. I think that's what I had, but enough about me. And my braces.
Braces. Being 11 years old, super fun.
They probably strengthen character, though, because it's a very unkind thing to have.
I know.
So, okay, so you abandoned your acting career dreams. And what happened then? You were like this creative little 11-year-old or...
I was such a weirdo then. Like, thinking back on the clothes that I wore, I was like always such an odd... young girl, but I abandoned that, and the people that I was like, was my agency, I guess, were like, oh, you should do modeling. That's what you should do now because you're growing up and you're 15 now and that's what you need to do. And so I was like, okay, sure, I guess.
Yeah.
And, so I had a very short stint doing that. I lived in Italy for a few months, like doing the whole again, the same sort of thing, but for modeling, which is like a completely different beast, apparently. And it's basic. It was like one of those moments in my life that like changed me as a person. And I was 17 and I turned 18 there. And I was like in Italy by myself and I was an idiot. And then like, I think I grew up a lot there, though.
In what way were you an idiot?
I just was... silly. I don't know, the way a 17-year-old is silly. You care about silly things. And I didn't really know the ways of the world. And I like went to Italy by myself. This was before you had phones. So I had to use like maps to get around. I had castings that I had to go to. And like, I would be walking down the street by myself with like this map. And I did a really stupid thing. I like this guy pulled up and was like, "Do you need help? Can I take you somewhere?" And I was like, "Yeah, I need to go here." And I got in his car and he took me somewhere. And I was like, wow, that, like, thinking back, I'm like, holy crap, that was the dumbest thing I could have done. I'm lucky that, like, he was just like a genuinely nice guy. But
oh my God. So you grew yeah. up a lot on that trip or on yeah. that stay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But were you not staying like with some other?
No, it was. I was living with other models, but it was like, how do I explain this? It was like not the greatest. It was weird because it was like we were in an attic. We like lived in this, four of us lived in an attic together.
Okay.
It was odd. But wasn't traditional model housing for sure.
And so you went around and like, what were the castings like? I mean, were they kind of creepy or were they like legit?
No, they were completely legit. It's just like you go to a casting and you have a book and you show them your portfolio and they make you walk back and forth sometimes or try on clothing. And most of the stuff that I did was like showroom and really small like editorial stuff. But showroom is where like there's designers and they're trying to sell their clothing to different companies and they bring them in. So they just have a model like change and stand there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think that like your experience with modeling has helped you? I mean, you must get this question all the time, but like as a photographer to understand the awkwardness of being in front of the camera?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It definitely influenced me a lot, especially in the beginning. Just like knowing like being in front of the camera is weird and thinking about flattering faces and that sort of thing. But it was one of those things that I didn't really enjoy being in front of the camera that much. So mostly because when I got the pictures back or when I saw photos of myself, I was always disappointed in the way that they looked and I felt like I didn't have enough control. And I think that's really what led me into wanting to be a photographer, like being able to take control of the photos and make something that I had envisioned.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But that's one of those things that's like, I didn't realize it at the time, but you look back and you're like, wow, that really led me on that path, huh?
You're like connecting the dots after the
fact. Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. So you come back from Italy. Where in Italy were you?
I was in Milan.
In Milan, okay. You come back and, of course, like you said, you're there without a phone. Your parents like are like, all right, bye, see you in a couple months.
Yeah.
And then you come back and you're like, okay, no more modeling? Or what did you...
It was just like... I don't know. I think I came back with a sense, well, that didn't really work out. Like, and that's not really where I'm supposed to be. I learned a lot about myself and I feel like I grew up a lot. And, but I just, from there, I went back into like normal life. I went to college and I went to college for, I got a business degree. So kind of like Norca guys, like I went to school for marketing. And,
oh my God! So did I. I did the same.
You
thing.
Did.
Yeah.
Okay, that's so funny. I feel like there's a lot of photographers who that happened. Like I originally, when I went to school, I wanted to be in advertising because I was like, for some reason, it felt like a familiar field to me. So you wanted to do that as well?
Yeah, it was like advertising, but then the smart thing was to do business, like marketing, because that was more. It was easier to get a job, you know. Which bad idea.
Yeah. So I went to school for advertising. I marketing really, but I took like all the advertising classes I could. And then, all of my electives were art classes. So it's another one of those things, like looking back, like, oh, all of my electives were art classes and photography classes, but I didn't major in it. But like, clearly there was something there.
Did you feel like, that's not a profession, so I have to go like a safe route and then like have this as a hobby?
I just saw it kind of as an outlet for creativity. I didn't even really know wedding photography was a job. If you had told me that in high school, that I would be a wedding photographer, I'd be like, what is that? Like, is that a real thing? Like, people do that? Yeah, I wouldn't have known.
That's funny.
Yeah, so I got a job out of college, and it was, man, it was like data entry. It was like, it was not advertising. It was like a different part of marketing, like marketing research, where you're compiling numbers and you're doing a lot of analysis and you're in Excel all day and then you're making PowerPoints. And it was just like, I felt myself falling away. Does that make sense? Like I felt like I was kind of losing any sort of creativity that I had because I was going to this job that was just like sucking my soul out.
Yes.
So I was like, oh my gosh, I need something to help me. I need to do something else just so that I can feel creative outside of this. And so I was like, photography, I always loved that. I loved setting up shoots and just, you know, playing around and taking photos of anything. So I bought a 70 and decided to like pick it back up again and just shoot around for fun and didn't really think anything would come of it. But
then it did.
Then it did. Yeah.
In what way?
I just started doing as many shoots as I could, just with friends. Anyone who would let me take their photo, I would shoot around town. I would shoot at like local businesses, just taking photos of anything. Just because I needed something that was different. And so I'd post them online and people would see that, oh, you're taking photos. That's so interesting. I'm getting married. And, you know, it was one of those like very natural progressions. I had a friend that asked me to shoot her wedding and I was like, okay, that sounds like a fun challenge. And I spent like 3 months just like researching how to shoot a wedding basically. And then following all the photographers that I really looked up to, and then I did it and it was fun and it just kind of, you know, snowballed from there.
Oh my, that's incredible.
Yeah.
And how many years ago was that, your first wedding?
My first wedding was in 2011. So 5 years ago.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me? You've gotten this good in 5 years?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, oh, your work is beautiful. Oh my God. That's really impressive. Incredible. And you're 29. So you're like, young, talented. Are you like in a good place right now?
Yeah.
Overall?
Yeah. I think I'm in a really good place right now.
It seems like it. I mean, I don't know you, but it feels like I know you. So tell me about, who's Phil?
Phil
has a microphone earlier. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Phil is my boyfriend. We live together and he's also a photographer. You may have seen his work, Phil Chester.
Okay.
Yeah. All my friends are photographers.
You're like keeping the group very tight.
I feel like everyone I know is a photographer or some sort of artist.
Oh, that's interesting. So this may be a bit of an awkward question, but when I was going through your website, it was Sarah and Dylan.
Okay. Yeah. So that's my old website. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm
so
sorry.
No, that's okay. So that's a website with my ex. And that's obviously this was going to come up, so that's okay. But yeah, so Dylan and I, were married and we shot weddings together and now we separated like December 2014 is when we separated. And it was one of those things we just didn't tell anyone for a really long time and just tried to like make it like a natural separation, but we're still good friends and we hang out and I don't know.
Really? Okay. That sounds like that's not even possible, but I mean, yeah.
Well, we had to shoot weddings together for a full year, like while we were separated. So I think we got to figure a lot of things out together.
So you guys shot everything as a team?
Yeah. We were like one of those husband-wife teams.
And you like had the whole year booked and all of a sudden you're like, okay, this is not working. Our marriage.
Yeah. It's just the way that people naturally separate, I guess. It wasn't any big thing. It was just like we'd been together for a long time and things weren't working out, but our name, our business name was Dolan and Sarah. So we had to like continue it for the year as we slowly changed our business names. But
okay. Wow.
But we were pretty determined to make sure that we remained friends, and we're really supportive of each other still. So,
so it was, sounds like it was like a mutual break.
Yeah, it was definitely a mutual breakup. I mean, even in those though, they're hard because you spend so much time with a person. But
so you guys must, I mean, I'm not trying to be like Barbara Walters here, but like you're,
that's okay.
But you're like everything, you're working together, living together. Do you think that made it, that obviously made the break harder, but do you think that was the reason that you...
You know, I could say that it was because of our business, but there were a lot of other things, you know, just in general issues, but just like any normal relationship has.
Of course.
Yeah.
So that's like 2 years ago now, or a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you shoot with Phil as well, or?
No. See, that's my, I'm determined to have my own.
Sorry, I didn't mean for that to sound like.
We will second shoot for each other every once in a while, but.
Okay.
We both have our own separate thing going on.
And he also does weddings though. So
yeah,
are you like competing for, do you ever get like, hey, I got that request too.
Or oh my gosh. That. All the time, like every week, constantly. But it's nice because we refer to each other all the time. Okay. So it's just like any other friend that you have that is a wedding photographer that you refer weddings to.
Yeah, okay. And if one, who usually gets the if they like email both of you, who usually gets the job?
Oh, man, it like goes back and forth so much. But Phil is such a personality. I feel like people really connect with him. So I feel like if they meet with him, they're definitely going to book.
They're going to book him.
Yeah. Funny.
And are you bringing Phil to Stockholm for the Way Up North?
I'm trying to convince him to come, but
yeah, you should.
I'm not sure if he's going to. he's a busy photographer, so he shoots a lot, and he might not be able to.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. That's super interesting. So, one thing that I understood from when I was like researching a little bit was that you're like a huge Google Plus personality. Is that, what is that? And what?
Yeah. So I weirdly have like, I just checked the other day cause I don't use it very often. I have like 1.7 million followers on Google Plus, which is insane.
That is insane.
I very early on in Google Plus's history, which is a very short history, as you know, I was added to like when people signed up for Google Plus, I was added to this list of people you should follow.
Oh, okay.
It's because I had a photographer friend who was like in the development of putting together Google Plus, and he like added me to this list, and I somehow gained like this really huge following on it. But Google Plus is such an odd place.
Can you explain what it is? I mean, like I'm embarrassed to say I think I have like an account, but I don't even know what it is.
Right. It's just a social media platform. It was meant to be. I don't really know what it is anymore, to be honest, but it's meant to be similar to like a Facebook.
Okay. So you post things and like,
yeah, you post things and you comment and
you're huge on it.
What?
If you have that many followers, you could basically like rule the world. Sounds like, I mean, like whatever you write, yes. I know if you write
that is
on there.
My plan. That is my goal, to rule the world one of these days with Google Plus.
World domination.
I think it's one of those things that's like a dying platform though.
Okay.
Like, I don't think many people really use it.
Huh. Well, that's kind of cool. If you do have a voice to that many people, though, I wonder.
I know. I had these friends that were in town this week, and they're like, you have that many followers on Google Plus. Please just post my brand so that someone comes to my website. And I was like, oh, I hadn't even thought about doing that. They're like, why aren't you posting your Instagram on there every day so that people come and follow you on Instagram? And it hadn't really even occurred to me. That's that's me, like a great marketer over here.
Not even I was just going to say that business degree is like. So no. Would you say that, is that you in a nutshell? Definitely more the artist than the businesswoman?
Yeah, it's certainly changed into that. I think so.
Do you use your business knowledge and your marketing degree today?
I think running a business, I think it's hard not to. I think a little more strategically when I'm planning things or doing things with my business, I think 2 steps ahead or something like that. Yes.
Okay. And do you do that for real? I mean, like you sit and plan your business and.
I don't like write down a business plan or anything like that, because that was a part of college that I really hated doing. But, I think about it. I think about the effects of what I'm posting or events that I'm speaking at and like how that's going to benefit me in the future and like the, you know, that sort of stuff. I guess I just analyze it more than anything.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. But how much time do you spend? I'm just curious, like with everything that's going on, do you shoot like every weekend and then,
I'm shooting pretty much most weekends during the summer. During the winter, I don't shoot that often because it's like pretty sporadic. It's like maybe 1 or 2 a month, weddings and then like random sessions. But, during the winter and the springtime, it's like, what is it? Like conference season, just like traveling around to different conferences.
And do you do a lot of speaking at conferences?
I have been recently. Yeah.
And what kind of things do they want you to talk about?
Kind of all over the place. I have been talking a lot about curation and curating how you show yourself to the world, that sort of thing, whether it be your portfolio or the things you say online.
Yeah. Okay. And are you very active online through like social media?
I do try and post photos quite a bit, but I don't think I've ever been very good at being an online personality, like showing who I am online. So I'm very much more like, I think I just do better in person. So I've never really tried very hard to put myself out there online.
Cause you seem like, to me, like a bit mysterious, kind of like.
Yeah, I know. I think a lot of people say that. Maybe that's part of my thing. I'm this mysterious artist. I just prefer not to focus on not, I like being present. You know what I mean? Like in what I'm doing and where I am. And if I'm with friends, I don't want to be just constantly on my phone updating statuses. And
right.
I think the one thing I do is sometimes for personal stuff is sometimes I'll do Snapchat, but just, it's so random and it's not for any other reason other than just for fun so that my friends can see what I'm doing.
So Snapchat is used privately and make little films and stuff on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you use Snapchat?
Actually, it's funny because Cole and Jakob has been telling me I need to Snapchat. I feel like I don't have time to learn another. But I know I'm like a total dinosaur when it comes to.
But I think my Instagram is so curated. It's basically just a portfolio.
Yeah.
And Facebook has kind of turned into the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
For me, they seem very similar. But Snapchat is like this completely unfiltered world that you can make. Some people use it very filtered way, but I don't know. I think it's way more fun to have a non-curated thing to do.
Especially if you're – because your Instagram account is artwork. It's not – there's nothing – like haphazard about it. I mean, it's,
I know. Yeah. I don't post any personal stuff on there. I think I might start doing it this year, just like adding a little bit in, but
yeah,
it's really just been like a portfolio, basically a rolling portfolio, but Snapchat's super fun. I go out at night. And recently I've been doing this thing at kitty hour, which is an hour before sunset and all the cats are out in the neighborhood. Oh, and it's such a stupid thing. I'm a cat person and I love cats and I don't have any right now. And we're trying to like adopt a cat and find like the perfect one. But so in the meantime, we go out and we walk around and find as many cats as we can at night. And the other night I found 13. That is our record.
And you like take photos of them with your phone or what?
No, I Snapchat them.
Which means what? Filming it?
Yeah, filming it. it's just silly.
And so that if you're called like Crazy Cat Lady, that's why.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'll be a crazy cat lady.
That's awesome.
Not mad about that.
I'll have to check that account out for sure. I noticed just now when you lifted your hand, because, we're Skyping. I think people
can see each other. We are staring into each other's eyes so deeply.
Which is so, so awesome. That you have a tattoo on your left arm.
Yeah.
Let me see.
It's very hard to show you on this. I'm just realizing.
Oh wow, that's gorgeous. Tell me about it.
It is a hand holding flowers. I originally just wanted to get some floral stuff on my arm, but I found an artist here in Portland who I really, really loved her work, and she kind of specialized in hands, and I thought it was so beautiful. It doesn't really have like a huge meaning other than I really enjoyed her artwork.
Okay. Interesting. Cause it's a big tattoo. So
yeah.
What was that like to go there and just be like, here you go. Like, is it scary?
I don't know. Have you ever gotten a tattoo?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I don't know. It was fine. It was fun, I guess.
Do you have other tattoos than that one?
Yeah, I have one right here on the back of my arm. It's just an anchor. I share it with my brother and sister. And then I'll show you since everyone can't see. I have a feather right here on my side.
That's beautiful too.
I really wanted something on my arm for a long time.
It's really cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
And it's such a normal thing in Portland. Everyone has like so many tattoos. So I forget that like not everyone does.
Well, I mean, everyone does here too. I think I'm like the last person to get a tattoo, either that. But so it's totally normal. You'll fit right in here for sure. What else do you do like to get inspiration and creative stuff? I mean, you seem like a super creative soul.
Oh, thank you. That's sweet. I decided recently that I was going to take up something other than photography as a hobby, because photography is not a hobby anymore. It's my job. And while I love it, it's not like, it doesn't bring the same sort of like, I don't know how to explain it. You know how when you're first starting taking photos, like you're so excited at like every photo you take, you're like so stoked on, and you're like, oh my gosh, I got something in focus. And then you're like, wow, I'm starting to understand light now. And it's really just exciting. You want to do it like all the time. But like now I feel like I'm past like all those big learning hurdles. And so I'm still learning, but it's more of like a, I'm learning with my clients and interacting with people and like truly understanding human emotion, that sort of stuff now. But as far as a craft, I've been wanting to do something else. So I just took up pottery, and that's been super fun. Working on a wheel throwing. And it's like, it's a similar feeling. It's like, I'm just trying to make anything work right now. And it's learning, and it's so much fun. It reminds me of when I first started taking photos.
Because you're like making something out of nothing.
Yeah, you're making something out of clay. And it's just really, it's so fun to learn a new craft.
Yeah.
And it's very exciting. And especially if you're doing it just for fun and just for pleasure. And it's like so therapeutic, because it's just, you have this clay in your hands and it starts out as this just ball of nothing. And then it turns into a bowl or a cup. And I don't know. But it's really nice to make something with your own hands. So I've been doing that.
It seems like it would be also, I mean, speaking of like being present, like you kind of, you can't really think about anything else, because then you're just like, it'll just spin off the wheel. And
oh my gosh, it's like meditation for me right now. I love it. I'm like, I go to the studio as much as I can. I'm like, and I'm just in there just like playing with the clay, and it's so therapeutic.
Oh my God. Your whole face will just got like, just like when you did that.
I know. Just,
it's like, you just look like super relaxed. Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's my new thing right now. But other things, I don't know. I hang out with my friends a lot, and we talk about life and existence and what is consciousness and all those fun, big topics that there's no answer for.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, and what do you think is consciousness?
Oh, I have no idea.
It's impressive to have, I mean, to discuss those things. I mean, impressive is the wrong word, but like, it's heavy stuff.
It is. It's super heavy stuff, but it's so interesting, and it expands your mind and expands your thought. And we sit around and we just like talk about it, and we're like, well, what is that? What is sleep? And why do you go to sleep at night? And where does your consciousness go when you're sleeping? And like, all the mysteries of the world, I think, are just so interesting. And I wonder about them a lot. And I think it's like, especially during the off season, I have so much time to just kind of sit around and think about life and think about what is the point of everything. And
yeah.
And same with all my friends, because they're all photographers, and most of them are wedding photographers. And do you know Ryan Muirhead? He spoke at We Up North. He's one of our good friends, and he comes over, and we talk about the same sort of stuff all the time. So
what do you, I mean, I know this is just, what would you say to, what is the meaning of life? I mean, I know it's like everyone's wondering, but.
Oh my gosh.
Right now.
The meaning of life, the meaning of existence. This is so heavy.
I know.
So
for like a simpleton podcast.
I don't know. Like, just to have experiences, human experiences, and like to feel something, yeah. I guess. But for me, that's what it is.
I think that's awesome. I mean, I agree. I think that's what it is too. But it's the kind of stuff I don't really talk to that many people about. But it's interesting to hear. I mean, I used to follow NASA on Instagram, and I had to stop because every time I saw these photos of like us just dangling in space, it was like, you know, obviously photos of planets and Earth.
Yeah.
I would like get this like kind of weird feeling like, oh my God, we're dangling in space. Like,
yeah,
what's going on?
So
it's like really weird feeling. I can understand that feeling of like, what is this? What are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that you'll be doing photography forever? Or do you think that photography right now is like, I mean, since you are such a creative person, like, do you think this is your medium right now and it'll change, or?
I really don't know. I couldn't have predicted my path if I had tried.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not, I couldn't have told you this is what I was going to do back before I did it. So I just don't know. I feel like it's something I'll do forever right now, but that's because I'm so in it.
And do you feel like, looking at your photos, it's like, okay, you've definitely mastered light and like locations and getting the bride and groom to be very relaxed. I mean, what are the kinds of things that you like think are the hardest about what you do?
Well, I don't know that I've mastered any of those, but I think definitely working with different people every week is a challenge, because everyone has a different relationship and they're going through different things. And love isn't just one thing. It's not just happiness. You know, it's a bond between two people that is, it can be like very light and happy, but it can also be like really deep and soulful, I guess. So people have different relationships, and some of them are really goofy and some of them are very lovey, and just trying to capture whatever their essence is my whole goal right now, I guess.
How do you do that? Do you meet them and then like your like brain is going like, what are the signs?
Well, I think It's funny because Phil and I have been talking a lot about this, that because our job is basically just being around couples all the time, you know, and on wedding days and on, and when they're doing engagements, you start to like analyze relationships a lot. Like I analyze basically everyone's relationship now, whether I'm trying to or not, and just trying to determine like what it is about them that connects. And it's just reading a couple, just trying to read a person and like get into a groove with them, I guess, trying to relate with them on whatever level you can.
Do you ever feel like this couple's never going to last when you shoot their wedding?
I try not to. And I try to, but yes, but it's more like, it's really hard because wedding days are so stressful for some people, and especially like a type A personality where they want so much control over it. And you don't know if that's really how they are, if it's just because of the situation they're in.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful for everyone, but I mean, I've been through a divorce, so I know that it's not always, stuff doesn't always work out.
Stuff can happen. Definitely. I just know sometimes when you said analyzing relationships, I feel like in the weddings that I've shot, it's like there's some where you can tell in the way that they speak to each other, even on their wedding day, which is still that you're like, this,
and you're like, oh guys, please just like realize why you're doing this, you know,
like appreciate where you are right now. I mean,
some people just aren't like that though.
No,
I realize that some people's relationships aren't like super crazy deep passionate with each other, and that's okay.
Yeah. So will you guys like sit around and analyze the relationships around you?
Yes, like our friends and family. I don't know. It's not on purpose. It just happens.
So how would you analyze, for instance, like because you said your parents are still together, I think. How would you analyze their relationship?
Oh my gosh, they're going to listen to this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
They're so sweet with each other. My dad is like a huge like goofball. He's like, people are really afraid of him because he's from Jersey and he has a very stern personality, but he's really funny. And my mom's so sweet and bubbly, and they're just funny together. I don't know. They love each other. I'm lucky. They're really good parents.
What parts of your dad and what parts of your mom have you like inherited?
It's so funny. Inheritance is so weird because, the other day I was hanging out with my dad, which, I hadn't like gotten the chance to hang out with him one-on-one in a really long time. And I noticed that he did this thing that I do a lot that I just didn't realize. I inherited, I think, my analytical side from him because he's an engineer and he analyzes things and, you know, breaks them down and tries to make them work. And, I noticed him like staring off into space and like for a second and just like gone. And I do that a lot. And, Phil's always like, where are you at right now? Like, because I'm always just like standing or sitting there staring into space. And I'm thinking just not of anything really important. I'm just like analyzing situations and going through different way outcomes of things that could happen. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I noticed my dad doing that. And I was like, do you do that a lot? And he's like, yeah, sometimes I do it like during meetings. I'll just like put my hand out and
space out.
Like make everyone stop for a second. And as he's like processing a bunch of things. I do that a lot. And that's really, really, really odd. But I don't know. My mom, I think I inherited, she's so sweet and happy and bubbly. I hope I inherited some of that from her.
Well, definitely. I mean, you're super bubbly and sweet and happy.
Oh, thank you. It could be like me just trying to be that for you right now on Skype, though, because I really am trying to like have a lot of energy. I think I inherited a little bit of that from her.
As soon as I turn off the recorder, you're going to be like, you bastard.
I'm just going to lay flat on the ground. Like, all of my energy has been spent.
You're going to give me the finger and just be like, later.
No, I have to shoot an elopement today. So, okay. I'll be getting ready for that right after this.
So what are you going to, tell me about that. What happens? Do you go like scout or are you, do, Is it pretty relaxed to do elopements, or do you take it?
Yeah, we usually plan ahead of time, like the places we're going to go. So Portland's pretty easy. It's so pretty here, and the parks have like giant trees that look like redwoods. So you can just go in there and go to the courthouse, and then go to like a giant redwood tree park, and it's beautiful.
And what do you do at the courthouse? I mean, like, just to get an urban...
Oh, no. I mean, that's where they're getting married. They're eloping at the courthouse.
Oh, it's an elopement. Sorry, I thought it was engagement. No.
Oh, no. It's an elopement, so it...
Wow.
So they're just getting married by themselves.
And some... I mean, I personally feel like some of those are more romantic than the most... elaborate weddings. So what do you, what
well,
are they
they're
like?
Certainly more romantic than elaborate weddings, I think. They're like, screw everyone else. We love each other. Let's go do something for us. You know,
I think they're for tax purposes, but
yeah, for tax purposes. Exactly. There's nothing more romantic than taxes.
Than tax benefits of being married. But, so nobody, does anyone know they're getting married, this couple?
I actually don't know. I guess I'll ask them before. Generally, it goes, I've had people not tell anyone and then surprise everyone with the photos. And then sometimes they'll bring like one or two people along. So it's not a true elopement, but
right,
whatever. It's like two people. It's kind
of
an elopement.
Where are you taking them today?
We're going to a place called Forest Park. And it's just a really, it's one of the biggest parks in Portland, and I guess in the, like, within city limits, it's one of the biggest, like, city parks in the country, but it's beautiful. It's big trees and pretty stuff.
I mean, because nature is a huge part of your photos.
Yeah.
Do you start out with a few, like, safe shots and then, like, kind of see where it takes you, or how do you normally work?
Yeah. I feel like I get inspired by the places that I'm at and by the couple and like talking to them and reading them. And, I don't really have like a set routine, but yes, I do. I think I do like safe shots at first just to like make sure I have something. And then we kind of explore and just see where the day takes us.
Are you going to be shooting in like middle of the day kind of light, or what kind of time?
Oh no, it's super overcast right now.
Okay. Is that good or bad?
I don't know. It could be both. It could be either. I feel like I shoot in all types of light all the time. Yeah. So it depends. But I guess in the forest, it's not as ideal to have an overcast day. But if I don't know, I really like shooting in overcast light.
It could be super dramatic. Yeah, no, it's just, I think, don't you think wedding photographers are probably the best? You're versatile because you know, it's not like you're controlling the light by lugging a bunch of studio lighting or anything. You have to like work with everything.
We are the best.
No, but it's a good school.
I think it's really unfair that, that, you know, other photographers or other artists don't consider it an art, because it's like, it's really challenging. Like, you put a portrait studio photographer at a wedding and see what they can do.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you have to be a lot of different kinds of people. You have to be like kind of a planner, and you have to be like a therapist sometimes, or you're talking everyone and like calming the room down. And then you have to be able to read the room and different types of light and know how to handle any type of situation. So
yeah, definitely. Well, I would definitely say you're a part of changing that idea that wedding photography is not art. I mean, your work is, like I said, not to sound like a total groupie, but your work is just gorgeous.
That's so sweet. Thank you so much.
Do you like feel, I mean, I had a moment looking at one of your shots where I got like goosebumps, like, oh, like, wow.
Really?
Do you feel like that when you know you like just got the shot where everything's in like in line, the light and everything? Do you, what does that feel like to you?
Man, I don't feel like I get many moments like that. I feel like I get set up for things like really well sometimes, and I'm like, man, that's going to be really good. But I don't have like this overwhelming like feeling that I'm like, oh, that's it, that's the one. And I don't feel like I ever really know until I get back.
and then you look through it, and then when you see that one shot, it's
well, because I think when I'm shooting, like, I'm in such a different headspace where, man, I can't remember what it's called, but it's just like a headspace where I'm like, I can't feel, like, I don't feel pain. I, like, you know, even if I fall, like, I don't feel any, like, physical anything. I'm just, like, so focused on what's going on in front of me.
Wow.
So I don't know. I'm not really thinking about myself at all during that time.
But then when you're going through the images, you're, like, looking, and then you're like, oh, my God, there it is.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. I don't think I do that.
You don't do, like, but oh, my God,
look at this. When I'm going through the images, I'm like, oh, that one's really good. Like, I don't get, like, oh, my God. Guys, call everyone I know.
That's what I would be doing. If I got that shot of that couple under the waterfall, I would be like looking around, like, who can I?
Oh man, that I really do love that photo. That was fun, but it was also like some of those scenarios are like they're really beautiful in the photo, but like so stressful when you're taking the photo because we're under a waterfall at. Like 30 minutes after sunset in, I think, are you talking about the Iceland one?
Sorry. I don't know where it was, but it's like, they're like looking out into the distance and they're under the waterfall. Yeah. And
I think so. I think I know which one you're talking about. But it was freezing and they were so cold and there was just water rushing and hitting everyone involved in the photo. And sometimes like you have to talk them into doing these things and be like, okay, no, be very calm and just like enjoy the waterfall and just look at it and try and coax them into like being like in a calm state instead of being like, oh my God, I'm freezing. It's like 40 degrees outside.
So that's what you said to that couple, like be very calm and just,
I don't remember, but I mean, that's the idea. Yeah, like trying to get them into a state where they're not thinking of
how cold they are.
Yeah. How cold they are. Yes, exactly.
So, okay. Well, that's interesting because from outside, you know, you don't have that story. You don't see like, the, you know, so
and
you
that's
just like,
idea.
Wow.
I don't want you to have that story from the outside. I want, that's like my experience in it, but I want to like create some other sort of experience for you.
Right.
I want you to think it's like the most romantic, beautiful thing you've ever seen. And I want you to get goosebumps when you see it. So, but it's one of those things where it's, you visualize it and you know, it's going to be amazing. So you work at it until you get the shot, I guess.
And you know that they will forget that they were cold. Because once to be the person in that shot must feel like, I mean, incredible.
I hope so. I don't know if they do forget that they're cold. Maybe I think they see it and they probably really like the photo. And then they're like, man, remember how cold we were? Like under that waterfall? I'm sure that's the kind of conversation that they have with each other. Because their moment, they were there too. They remember what it was like.
Yeah, but I mean...
But I'm sure they enjoy the photo.
I'm sure. I mean, you're capturing like amazing things for them.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I'm super excited to hear... I'm obviously going to Way Up North.
Yay!
Super excited to hear what you're going to talk about. What is the topic of your like presentation?
Let's see. I sent it over to Cole and Jakob the other day. It's Jakob, right?
Yeah.
Okay. a couple weeks ago. I hate coming up with like taglines which is funny advertising, but I hate coming up with like descriptions of talks because I haven't like written the whole, I really haven't written it yet. And it's, I don't like to write it before wedding season because I know that I'm going to learn a lot this year, like as I'm shooting and this is really my first year being a photographer by myself in my own business. So, so I know I'm going to learn a lot this year and I have to kind of wait it out to see what I come up with.
Okay.
So I can't write it right now, but, but it's basically, it's about, starting over and rebranding and then I'm going to do some, I'm going to incorporate that into, or I'm going to incorporate some portfolio reviews into it.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you going to talk at all about the double exposure thing that you did?
I don't think it would come up, but I'm not sure. The double exposure thing. Yeah, that's a...
Sorry, it's like a by the way, but I...
Yeah.
Like when if you Google your name, it's like one of the first things that comes up. And I didn't ask about it yet, but I mean, can you just like spend a couple minutes telling me what it is?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So that was a completely, it was a fun project. So what happened was the 5D Mark III came out, right? And that was 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. I can't remember. And it had this, it has so many functions in it, and it had this double exposure function. And I think we stumbled upon it on accident, and, or maybe we saw it. I can't remember how we found out it had it, but one day at a wedding, I was sitting with the bride and her dad, and we were waiting in like a kind of a weird area because the wedding was in a weird area and we had to wait for them to walk down the aisle. And we had like 30 minutes to kill hiding in this little woodsy area. And I was like, well, we're just sitting here for a really long time. So I pull up my camera. I was like, let me try this. I didn't really tell her what I was doing, but I just tried the double exposure. I took a photo of her as a silhouette, and then I took a photo of the trees that we were around, and I did it a couple times, and I like accidentally came up with something that was really, that I thought was really cool. And I was kind of blown away by it. And I didn't really even fully know how to use the function yet. And when I got back home, I edited it and I was like, wow, this is actually kind of cool. I want to like know a little bit more about this. So I researched more about how to do it. And Phil's home. I'm still doing a podcast. Shh. He's singing.
Forgot what you're doing, sorry.
Okay. Okay, so that's one of those things we can maybe cut out. Yeah, I can't remember where I was.
You were saying you got home, you researched the double exposure thing, okay. And like, yeah.
Sorry. So I got home, I researched the double exposure thing, and I found out there's this like really interesting way that you can like live view the double exposure and be able to see what you're taking a photo of, which is something that I thought was fantastic and I didn't know about when I was trying to do it. And I didn't think most people really knew how to do it. So we decided to make a video about it, just showing, and it was like the first, maybe like the first 10 double exposures that I ever done were the ones that I posted on there.
Wow.
And which is really funny. And, you know, no one asked me to do it. It was just one of those things like, yeah, people need to know this. So I put it out there and I contacted F-Stopper's blog and to see if they wanted to run with it. And they did. And then it just got picked up by so many different art blogs and photography blogs. And it kind of led me into doing some commission work for it. Okay. Which is cool. Like I have some double exposures in like hotels in New York, I guess. But,
wow.
But yeah, it was a fun project. I don't do very many anymore. I'm considering like taking up another project with it where I do something with it that has a little bit more meaning for me.
Okay.
But
okay.
I haven't really decided what that is yet.
Cool. So, but do you do it on weddings now? Not always.
No. If people request it, that I will. Or if I'm feeling like really inspired to do it for some reason, that I will.
Okay.
But.
Cool. Well, awesome. This was seriously so much fun.
Oh, good. It was really nice to get to know you.
It's so nice to get to know you. And like I said, I'm super excited about hopefully meeting you in person then at Way Up North.
Yeah. You're going to be there, right?
Definitely.
Okay, good.
I'll be there. I'll make sure that we connect. And I think that, yeah, I think you're going to get a good response.
Okay.
Like, who am I? But your personality is so, you're so sweet. And
thanks. That means a lot.
Yeah. This was really fun. So have a great wedding season.
Thank you.
And I will see you in a few months in Stockholm.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Good luck at the elopement.
Thank you. I will try. I don't know what I'm saying. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Have a good day.
Thanks. You too.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.